morning and welcome to worship at St. Matthew's. So glad you could be here along with the spring arrival. It's lovely, much nicer this weekend than last. I just have a few announcements. We will be remembering Shirley Kentel, sister of Morley Youngblood, in our prayers today. She passed away last Sunday. I also want to introduce the Reverend Pastor Doug Reble. He is going to lead us in worship this morning. Pastor is at the cottage, just checking out winter damage. Hopefully things are okay. And just an announcement that after the service, Pastor Reble can't stay too long. He has another service to go to, but we are having lunch in the fellowship hall to which you're all invited. We have soup, salad, bread, etc. So please come. We have lots of food. And I'd like to introduce Pastor Reble.
Don't call me doctor. You wouldn't want me to be your doctor. You know who I am now. It's my privilege to serve as assistant to Bishop Michael Price of our Eastern Synod of our Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada. And he indeed extends his warm greetings to you alongside, of course, my colleague in the office, Pastor Rita Hepimaki. Indeed, all your sisters and brothers who live and work and worship from Leamington to London, Montreal to Mahone Bay, Nova Scotia, and places in between like St. Matthew Welland. Warm greetings to you. Good to be here. This is my first trip to you. Two words. First one is a thank you. Thank you for your partnership with the wider church over the many years, your prayers and benevolence offerings. It has been said, I love this phrase, I heard it the first time a year or so ago. It describes a family, it can describe a church. No one is anyone without everyone. Isn't that true? We need each other. Your ministry is our ministry. Our ministry is your ministry. Together we are the people of God. So thank you. My second word is why I am here. Well, full confession, I invited myself. Thought the pastor may be here, but when he said, Doug, you know, the weather's looking good, cottage, I said, just go. And I was at Port Colborne. But there's a reason I'm here besides inviting myself. For the last 2-3 months, my car has been on autopilot coming from either Stratford, where I live, or the office in Kitchener. I have met now, completed last week, with all six of the seven congregations of the Niagara Ministry area. And I've also been privileged to either lead and preach or just preach at all six congregations as well. It's helped to create a wonderful picture of hospitality. And why is that? Why have I been doing that? Because, if some of you might have been at the meeting the bishop was at last year, it is to try and find a way that a pastoral ministry of word and sacrament can continue to be sustained for the long term in the Niagara ministry area in this time of change. I will say a little bit more in my sermon. And so that is, I mean, you need to meet with the leadership, of course, to have some ideas. We'll be creating some. The task force is meeting this Wednesday. So that's why I've been doing this. And it's really, truly has actually been a joy. So, we are the people of God at worship. Let's take a minute to prepare our hearts and minds. I don't have the mic on, so I will, for the most part, use these two mics. Otherwise, I guess I'll just raise my voice. Okay, so let's just prepare our hearts for worship. Nine times out of ten, I am what would be called, probably like most Lutheran pastors, a lectionary preacher. I would preach from one of the assigned readings for today. Not today, for reasons which will become clear in a few moments, I hope, anyways. But I would encourage you to take your bulletin home and read throughout the week these readings, reflect on them, what they mean for your life. The one that always touches me is that one verse from the second reading, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I think all of us have things probably we sometimes need to put behind us and to move forward in God's grace. Anyway, so the matter at hand. Do you remember the days in Sunday school or confirmation or vacation Bible school when you used to memorize Scripture? Do you remember when we used to memorize Scripture? Some of you? Please, okay, that's good. How many of you have a confirmation verse? Some of you will have a confirmation verse. Do you remember it? You don't have to tell me. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. You do. Good for you. God bless you. Thank you. So, we're going to memorize one verse today, and I may test you halfway through and at the end. So, Psalm 98, verse 1. Oh, sing, repeat after me. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. The Lord a new song. For God has done marvelous things. Okay, that's one verse to remember. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for God has done marvelous things. And I'm going to tell you right off the top that it's more of a talk than a traditional sermon today. For the reasons, hopefully, which become clear. So how many of you, not all of you, but how many of you have ever been a parent? It's okay to raise your hand in church. How many of you have ever been a child? Okay, gotcha. So, when my sons were small, I have two sons in their early 30s, under five though, when they were five or under, First Parish, New Dundee, Mannheim, we had a certain ritual. I had a certain ritual when putting them to bed, not unlike most parents, of course. And it's one time I was busy, but I really tried to be home to help Sharon, and it was my time with the guys. So it was this. You can imagine. A story to read, right? Often a child's devotional book, one of those children's Bible. Teeth, pajamas, that sort of thing. You know the joke. In our house, it often involved the singing of two songs. Can you guess what one of them was? You got it. Jesus loves me, this I know. And the second song was one that I would make up on the spot. Silly tune, silly words. And if they liked it, I had to do it over and over again. And if they really liked it, over and over and over again and all week. And I was supposed to remember. They preferred the old song, 5 years old. Just like church. There's nothing wrong with that. Many people in church prefer the old hymns to the new ones. I get that. What a friend we have in Jesus. That sort of thing. It's why we often request these old hymns at funerals. They speak to our hearts. I've only been doing this assistant to the bishop thing for about six years, actually, hard to believe. But for 29 years, almost 30, I was a parish pastor. My first love is parish ministry. My last parish, I was there for 20 years. It was a large parish where I still live in Zion, Stratford. And I presided at about 30 funerals a year. That was a mixture of community and congregational funerals. Can you imagine? Now do the math. 20 times 30. Do you know how many times I have sung Amazing Grace over the course of my life? And that's okay. Speaks to our heart. I think another reason many people in church prefer the old songs is because they are uncomfortable singing songs they don't know very well. New ones are awkward, risky. We may make a mistake. And actually, not only in church do we prefer the old songs, the ones we know. And by the way, you're probably wondering where I'm going with all this. I would simply ask you to hear me out till I get to the end. As I said, I was a parish pastor for most of my professional life, vocational life. And like most parish pastors, you visit You visit the sick, you visit the shut-in, you visit those people who are in long-term care facilities, or what we more often call nursing homes. And so if you go at a certain type time of day, usually in the afternoon, you would, or your mid-morning maybe, you'd go through the activity room to visit whoever, and the activity director would be leading songs, right? Often they did that. And invariably I heard, "You are my sunshine, my only..." Ha-ha. You got it. And, you know, I often wondered, I used to think, what about people when my age get to be in a nursing home at the end of my life? I was raised on the Beatles, Bruce Springsteen, the Rolling Stones. What will we sing? My wife Sharon says that she can just see me sitting in my wheelchair at the nursing home singing, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." I'll never forget when my parish in Stratford instituted the book that you use, the Red Book, about 10 years now. About 80% of our congregations use the red hymnal, 20% probably still the old green. I was the son of an organist and a Lutheran organist. I grew up in the church in Hamilton of the Mountain, just down the road. And so I was a little bit nervous because I know how important hymns are and liturgy are to Lutheran Christians. So I was nervous when introducing the new book. Well, Jennifer, now a pastor, Jennifer Hoover, in Woodstock, but she was my director of music in Stratford, she said, "Doug, your role is to be a calm, non-anxious presence. I will teach the hymns." And it worked. As you know, God gives us new ways to praise Him all the time. By the way, what was that verse I gave you? This is a test. "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for God has done marvelous things." Do you know what I'm talking about here? I'm talking about change. Change. Sometimes we need to leave our comfort zones to do those things we could not do without God. And here I'm not talking about singing new hymns. We all know what it means to sing new hymns, all of us, any age. I'm not talking about singing songs, by the way. I sang a new song when I left the city of Hamilton, where I grew up, to go to the far north to be a social worker. Sang another new song when I left the far north to go to seminary to be a pastor. I sang a new song when I got married, when I had kids. I sang a new song when I set aside, or tried to set aside, such old traits as impatience. Though I must say I'm still trying to learn that one. Hard to change, isn't it? All of you have been singing new songs all of your life. When you left home, when you got that job, when you lost that job, when you got married, got divorced, when you had children, when you had grandchildren, when you retired, when you changed your ways, you sang a new song when a loved one died. That's a sad song, but it was new to you. Our Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada, I would say all, certainly mainline churches in Canada and the Northern Hemisphere, Canada, United States, Europe, not Africa, church is growing by leaps and bounds. But our church is learning to sing a new song as we learn to live and work and serve in a time of increasing need, declining human and financial resources, and in a time when I think people are as spiritual as always. It's why the bishop asked me to work with the congregations and the councils, particularly, of the six congregations of the Niagara Ministry area. People truly are spiritual. Those two sons I talked about, Mark and Lucas, they're teachers. They're highly spiritual, loving, serving people. But they do not see how those needs can be met through the church or organized religion. Sometimes it breaks my heart. I bet you that describes some of your children and grandchildren. Except for Father's Day or Christmas Eve when they're in church. This congregation, St. Matthew Welland, I had to do a little bit of research. But think of all the changes you have undergone over the course of your life. First formed in 1876. That doesn't make you the oldest, but it makes you one of the oldest congregations in our synod. Served by pastors who resided in Snyder Township. I only know where that is because I drove by there when one of my coming down here to go to the various councils. Pastors who resided in Humberstone, now called Port Colborne, Niagara Falls, New York. You didn't have your first resident pastor here until 1926. You even had a Reverend Bieber. I'm not assuming the one who's related to the guy where I live in Stratford. Maybe. No idea. Think of all the pastors who've come and gone from this place. Names like Saarinen, and you're still here, but Cronmiller, and Mueller, and Tubby, and Krauss. Think of all of your friends who are now part of the communion of saints in their heavenly home. Change. With all this talk of change, though, I don't want to focus on the past. I want to focus on the present and the future. And here I'm inspired. Maybe this now turns into a sermon. Maybe I'm inspired by the same words which inspired Martin Luther. In Latin, Ecclesia Reformata sed semper reformata, which means the church reformed, but always in the process of being reformed. So in that spirit, I have some questions for you who are members and friends of St. Matthew's. What new song is God calling you to sing in this place, in this community? Well, I suspect there are many people who could use a new song in their faith journey and their life journey. What new song is God calling you to sing as an individual and as a congregation in your worship life, your witness life, your serving life? As you relate to other Lutherans in the Niagara ministry area, most definitely your sisters and brothers in Christ, but other Christians and non-Christians and people of no faith. Well, the songs you sing bring people in who want to sing them with you. Or will they exclude people, keep them away? Of course, you may be thinking right now, I don't want to sing any new song. I don't want to sing a new song with others. I don't really like change. I want the song of faith to be the same one it was that I sang when I was married or when I was confirmed, or pick whatever time you like best. Except life isn't like that. Think of all the changes that you have undergone over your journey of life and faith. And again, I'm not talking about changing hymn books. Change is difficult, especially when it is forced upon us. I'm not the biggest fan of change. I'm honest here. But I have learned that change in the end is not something to be avoided, but to be embraced. My brothers and sisters in Christ, please hear this. In church life, we are facing a time of great change. Lutheran Christians know this. This is no longer the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. When there were a lot of babies being born, I was one of those, baby boom. The immigration is no longer coming from Northern Europe. It is why more and more of our churches, and that's what we've been talking about here, all over our synod, please know this, not just here, all over our synod, congregations are talking about shared pastorates. That's when you share a pastor. Shared ministry, where you share more than a minister. Amalgamations, mergers, and in some places, closing. For the last year and a half, I've been going once a month to the city of Hamilton, where I grew up, because the four congregations in that city just down the road are working, trying to work towards amalgamation. Can you imagine that? We started as one, went four, back to one. We pray. We'll see. But it gives you a sense how things are changing. But God goes with us. Just like life changes in our personal life can be so sometimes frightening, they can be in our church life. But we can have the courage to face those changes. Why is that? Because we don't face them alone. I'm not going to test you what the last verse of the book of the Gospel of Matthew is, or the almost last verse. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. We sing our songs of life and faith with others who have gone before us. Our ancestors, who we call the communion of saints, and with God, who helps us to face change, deal with it, and grow with it. Whenever we follow our Lord Jesus Christ into uncertain futures, remember God is with us as we are singing a new song. God can help us do marvelous things. So what's that verse? Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for God can do marvelous things. That is our hope. In the name of the God who loves us all. Amen.